In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you've ever read St. Silouan of Mount Athos' wonderful composition found in the book Wisdom from Mount Athos, it's called Adam's Lament. And he speaks of what we are commemorating today, because he says that Adam now, being kicked out of paradise, lamented greatly, because the Lord that he loved so very much, he had let down and been disobedient to him, that he knew the ramifications of what had happened and was so horribly sad about it, and keeps asking questions about how shall I return? How shall I return? And yet, if you keep reading Adam's lament, you see that Adam in the end does repent, and he does get restored to the choir of the saints. And then we are found asking Adam, how can we do the same as you? Because you were so great in your disobedience, but also so great in your repentance. How can we too return? And St. Silouan has Adam say, basically, don't bother me. I'm enjoying the things of heaven. I'm now with the God that I love so greatly. I can't be bothered with the things of earth any longer. So don't speak to me about these things. You know what you have to do, because it is all written in the gospel. And in today's gospel, we indeed do find exactly that. On this Sunday, where we commemorate the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the paradise of bliss, as it says in the Typikon, we are told that now is the time for us to return to that paradise, as Adam had to struggle to do so. Only for us, it's much easier than what he had to do. Because we, of course, have the gospel. We have God incarnate walking among us. We have all of these things, and the Lord lays out for us today what it is we have to do. And it's really very simple, but at the same time, quite tricky. Because he says, if you forgive men their trespasses, if you forgive men their trespasses, then my heavenly Father will forgive you also. But then that terrible corollary, but if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will I forgive you. And that should strike everyone to the heart, because it looks like such a simple thing until we really start to think about what true forgiveness is. It's easy to mouth the words. It really is. It's easy to think back on someone who's offended you, or you've been having a feud with for 20 years or something like that, and you're feeling really about the whole thing all the time. But yet it's easy to come to that point where you say, well, okay, take a deep breath. Oh, I forgive them. But do you really? Because only God can see that in your heart if you've truly forgiven them. Because in order to forgive someone, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and answer honestly. Am I just fooling myself? Because I'm not fooling God. Am I just pretending that somehow I'm forgiving them or mouthing the words and thinking that that's enough? Well, it's not. It's not at all. Because the Lord goes on and tells us in this same passage from the gospel today that there are other things that we have to keep in mind besides forgiveness. He talks about fasting. And why do we talk about that today? Because Adam and Eve were disobedient because they refused to fast. The Lord said, don't eat of this tree. You can have everything else. I mean, everything else that's here. I mean, look around. What could be better, right? But this tree, don't eat of the fruit of this tree. And so what did they do? They ate. They did not fast. But then the Lord says, well, don't be as hypocrites, though, because some people might want to fast and really put on a display about it. Oh, I'm fasting so hard. I'm so weak. You know, I've been working. What can I do? This fast is just killing me. In other words, the fast is always on their minds. What am I going to make for dinner tonight? It's a fasting day. We're in this fasting period. Oh. No. Don't be, he says, as the hypocrites who make a big deal about this. But simply do what you're supposed to do. Wash your face. Look clean and cheerful and joyful as you should look, and go about keeping what the Lord says to do. Because then he tells us, look, you've got to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And this comes to the crux of the whole matter. Because if you make all the things of this world your primary choice, if that's what's really important to you, what you should eat, what you should drink, what you should accomplish, who's doing this, who's doing that, am I getting ahead, all these kind of things, then your treasure is in the wrong place. And the Lord says it is corruptible, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's another way that we have to examine ourselves, to look in the mirror and say, well, what is it that I really think is valuable in this life? What am I really after? What am I setting aside for the sake of something else? Why am I depriving myself spiritually for the sake of some materiality? We need to look at ourselves now, because today, or at least it will be in a few minutes, is the time when we begin our climb back into the paradise of bliss. And that paradise now is far greater than the one that Adam was in. You can't even compare the two. His was absolutely wonderful, but what the Lord has prepared is so much greater, so much beyond our imagination, our conception, that we're going to be astounded, absolutely astounded. Now we climb the ladder, slowly, step by step, up back into paradise with the Lord's help, of course. And He will grant it if we but ask for it. So we should fast. We should fast from the foods that we can fast from. Again, I always say, challenge yourself. Don't make it undoable, though, because that leads to frustration. We should fast from our lack of forgiveness. We should fast from all of our sins. We should fast from our absence at church services. Because if you're Orthodox, you prove it by being there. We should fast from all the distractions that we find in life. We should fast from social media. Lord knows we need to fast from social media. Get away from the clutter, the things that are normally in your life all the time that just add to this whole melange of craziness and distorted views of things and depression and anxiety and all these sorts of things. Clean that out now. Focus in only on the one thing needful, and that one thing needful is being with our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Silouan certainly knew this. You know, St. Silouan, I mean, he tells us he fell into a terrible depression for about 18 years. 18 years. But yet, he was able to return because he knew that the Lord would not abandon him. And he did not abandon the Lord, which is even more important, because despite the things that were happening to him, the things that were coming on around him, he kept doing the things that he should do. And the Lord rewarded him for us. It's not an easy thing to get back to paradise. It's easy for the Lord because He offers it all to us very simply. But we don't seem to want it. We would rather stay down in the muck too often. when just a little effort, step by step, would gradually pull that curtain back on the heavenly kingdom and reveal to us the cherubim and the seraphim and the thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, on, all of these things that are there, that are with us today, that are hidden from our view because we don't want to come up out of the mud. But now is the time, my brothers and sisters, now is the time that the church gives us every single year to renew ourselves, to focus in on what's the most important thing. Last night began 10 straight days of church services. Did you realize that? Every day for 10 days. The great canon of St. Andrew of Crete that we do this week, the absolute perfect penitential instrument that the Orthodox Church gives us, is going to be done 3 times this week. Everyone should be at one of them. Pre-sanctified liturgy on Wednesday night. Everyone should be at that. The salutations to the Mother of God, who St. Silouan says, I can't describe the radiance of her in the heavenly kingdom with what the Lord has granted her. We do this all through Lent. And so you should try and take the time to start it off properly. How many times do people come to confession to me later on in Lent, way late in Lent, even though I've said come early, and I'll say it again this year, and you'll come late anyway. How many times do they say, oh, Father, I've just had such a horrible Lent. You know, and I said, well, did you start it off right? We've had 4 Sundays of preparation. 4 Sundays, you knew it was coming. I started talking about it 6 Sundays ago. It's there. You know it's coming. And you should be joyful about it. You should look forward to it. It should be a chance for great renewal in your spiritual lives, of taking a step up from where you were. Because any step that you take up, as the year goes on, and especially when we get into the summertime, you know, we start drooping down like this again. Doesn't seem to become as important to us. But if you're up here, maybe this time you'll fall down just a little ways. And then the next time around, you can go up even further. Life, spiritual life, is about ascent. It's about ascent. That's what we are called to ascend to the kingdom of heaven. And Lent offers us the greatest opportunity that we can possibly have. So take advantage of these things. Seek genuine forgiveness in your hearts for those things that you are probably harboring from years back, different things that have happened, things that are just still sticking in your craw, even though you may have put them aside. Expose them. Bring them out to the light of Christ. Heal them. Close those wounds. Love your brethren, because you'll never find greater love than amongst the brethren in this community now. It's all there for you. So let us go forward. Let us forgive one another, and let us launch ourselves up into the heavenly kingdom of Christ our God. Amen.